This is sort of a big, broad sort of type of question. So life lessons, anything that you impart maybe to your students after the event when you started teaching a few years later?
Well, you know, I teach safety. I'm an OSHA instructor, occupational safety and health instructor. And I tell them, you can be provided with all the gear you want, we can give you. But unless you practice safety and practice it all the time, you'll never be ready to use it if you have to. And I give this as an example. Every week, we went through fire and boat drills, rain or shine, and it was a pain in the neck. But I only had to use it one time, and I hope it saved my life.
Mm-hmm. You're here to tell the tale.
So the other thing is, I was able to, this was an absolute industry changer. I was invited to speak in front of Jerry Studs' committee in Washington. Jerry Studs was a representative from Massachusetts that was the head of the Fisheries and Merchant Marine Committee.
Okay.
And as a result of the Marine Electric, any ship that navigates above 42 degrees latitude now has to provide survival suits for all their crew members, which wasn't required back then. The type of ship that I was on is called a T2. I don't know if you've got a background on this.
I do
not. T2 tankers were built specifically to carry oil across the Murmansk Run in the Second World War, carry oil to Russia across the North Atlantic. If they made one trip successfully back in the war, they were considered a success. They were expendable. So they built all these ships with a high content of ash in the steel, which was a war effort, a war-saving effort. Instead of putting all the ingredients that go into steel, and I don't know it chemically, they were able to substitute this ash and take this raw material that they were substituting and send it to some other part of the war effort. In the making of the steel, it was very brittle. It didn't meet all specifications. And it was especially brittle in cold weather. So they built hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these T2 tankers during the war. After the war, they had all these ships sitting around in mothballs. What are they going to do? So they sold them to different companies.
What does that mean? Is that just an industry term in mothballs?
No, they were actually sitting in a fleet in the Hudson River, all decommissioned,
okay, ready
to go.
So the expression is in mothballs.
Mothballs, yeah.
Okay.
So all these ships sitting in the reserve fleets, they sold them off cheap to these companies, Texaco, Gulf, all over the world. Then they started to have problems with the ships. They started to develop cracks in the hull because of the brittle steel. The age of the ships was now getting up to 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm. By 1983.
Right, it was now 45 years old. A lot of these ships were taken and brought into shipyard. They were built in the early 40s. Now it's, 41, 42. And back then, welding was just coming of age in ship construction. Prior to that, they used rivets. And the rivets were much stronger than the first welds that were ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So during the war, they suffered casualties, but they were war-related. After the war, they sold these ships off to these companies, and they did a process called jumboizing. They'd take the ship into shipyard, cut it in half, extend it out, and put a new midship body in it, weld it all up. Now it's, instead of being 350 feet long, it's 670 feet long.
Was the Marine Electric one of these jumbo ships?
One of these jumboized T2 tankers. To correct the problems with the cracks in the hull, they put on all these ships what they call arresting straps. It was a piece of a steel strap that went from up at the gunwale on one side, down underneath the keel, all the way to the other side, riveted into place, try to hold the structure together a little bit more rigid. So that worked for a little while, but then the ships really started to get old.
Were there other shipwrecks and ship accidents of these T2? To jumbo-wise?
Do yourself a favor. Tugayus is an author. He wrote...
Tugayus.
He wrote... Oh, my goodness. I think I have the book. It's Their Finest Hours, it's called. And it's the story of two tankers off Cape Cod in a storm in 1952 that broke in half and sank, identical to the Marine Electric. And it's the rescue of the crew members of that.
So in the case of those two ships, the crew were rescued?
Many of them died, but some crew members were rescued. And it rudimentary open boat rescue. It's the Coast Guard's Finest Hours. In that book... He lists 14 other ships known to have been lost with all hands of the same vintage, of the same construction type. When I was at the Academy, there were several that were lost that we had as case studies. The SS Poet, the Texaco Oklahoma, the Cayuga. There were probably three or four, and they started to go down, bang, 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 bang. Lost all hands, reported overdue.
The Marine Electric was the
one in this one in a series of 14 or 15 unexplained sinkings.
Okay, so was that the last in the series when they decommissioned the rest of these
as
ships?
As a result of the Marine Electric, one of the things, they took all those ships out of commission. All over the world, they had to scrap them. So that was one issue. The second issue was the survival suits, which was probably the most pressing. Had we had survival suits, many guys would have lived. And survival suits were around back then. It just wasn't
required.
They weren't required, so the companies weren't going to put them on board.